And I have found more and more good material that I would love to share with you about it. But one of the things I want to just talk about this morning is this thing of afflictions. And I may get this handout to you, probably will get this handout to you before the end of the time. But if I don't, you can get it up here. But I would ask you, if you will, please do not destroy it. And if you're not going to keep it, don't take it. Because the paper's valuable, the work is valuable, and every person who called himself a Christian needs to know what's on this piece of paper. People take handouts, and some of them are not worth keeping. I have to agree with you, but this is. Months ago, Linda Hinton typed it for us and made, I think, 100 copies, which we don't need that many for in here, but I wanted to use it. Olive translated it into Spanish, and we gave it to the pastors, and she also translated that paper on commitment that I've given everybody I know almost a copy. I mean, some of you have a copy of paper called My Commitment. If you don't, we'll get some more copies. She translated it into Spanish, and that's what I taught on, total commitment. Are you interested in that? It's not fun stuff. While I was there, and I could almost brag about this. I tell you what, I got excited. I acted nice, but I just got excited. I got excited, you know, all by myself, just thinking about getting excited about the Word. And I shared this with Ned yesterday. I was talking with those people, and they're so hungry. You know, they don't get offended like American Christians. I said in this class one time that we Christians don't really want to hear the truth. And somebody got offended and wrote me a letter and got all huffy and went and talked and talked. And this is the truth. We don't want to hear how ornery we are. We don't want to hear how ungrateful we are. Do we? And we are. Thank you for being honest. But I was thinking about the topic of spiritual milk and spiritual meat. And right from heaven, I got the best definition. Spiritual milk is the promise blessing to God's people. And spiritual meat is the obedience and self-denial required to obtain it. Isn't that good? To obtain the blessings. All right. The milk, the spiritual milk, is the promised blessings. Blessings to God's people. Everybody wants to be blessed. Right? But the meat is the obedience, the self-denial, the commitment that's required to obtain the blessings. I like that. I was satisfied with that. Some of you are frowning like you don't want to hear that. Well, don't come back, because I'm not going to mollycoddle and mess around with mature, serious Christians, because we do not know what's ahead of us. And I do know that those in persecution have withstood their territory on the basis of God's Word and the knowledge that they have of it. So, afflictions and spiritual meat and milk is not all that popular, but it surely is informative. The Bible has a great deal to say about affliction. I looked in the thesaurus this morning to find some good synonyms for it, and let me share those with you. Affliction means the same as distress, adversity, calamity, anguish, disorder, grief, hardship, sorrow, suffering, torment, trouble, tribulation, and woe. When your hands are raised, when we ask, is there a family member who needs prayer? I don't think I've ever been in a meeting of adults where 9/10 of the hands are not raised when that question is asked. See, God uses those that we love to work on us more than any other instrument. He knows how to get our attention and how to change our hearts and how to bring us to our knees. Ron Dunn's a famous great Baptist Bible teacher, and he said this, and I like it, and I don't like it, but I have to like it because I think he's right. Anything that'll make you pray is a blessing. Because every prayer you pray brings you closer to the presence of God. The first time that afflict is mentioned, and you needn't look because you'll be so familiar with it, was back in Genesis chapter 15 when the Lord was talking to Abraham concerning the afflictions of his descendants in Egypt. He said they will be afflicted 400 years. And they were strangers in another land. They were enslaved by hostile masters, and they were oppressed by their living conditions for 400 years. The Lord Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. And he could have said afflictions. He could have said distress, disorder, woe, trouble, sorrow, adversity, heartache, a number of things. But he used tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And our stance must be that through Christ I can do all who strengthens me. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Him we are more than conquerors. But you see, that is only demonstrated in what we display in our distress. Character is formed in distress and afflictions. And it is revealed in the trials we face in those afflictions and that tribulation. It's formed there and it's revealed there. What you are in crisis is what you are in Christ. He endured more suffering, the greatest suffering, the most intense suffering of any person who ever lived. And he was a person. I don't understand it, but he was God and he was man. But he was flesh and he hurt. And he suffered, and he sweat great drops of blood in the anguish over the price that was God had required of him. The Apostle Paul said, and while I'm saying this, you be looking in your Bible to hunt and find 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But Paul said, through much tribulation you will enter the kingdom of God. Which is to say that without some spiritual exercise, you aren't going to amount to a great deal because you will not really enter into the kingdom of God. That's my interpretation of that. You're going to have it. Come on up here, Randy. Don't sit back there. That's Acts 14. Then Paul said, and you found 2 Corinthians chapter 4, by now, and I want to, let me ask you this. How many of you would be willing to enter into a 2 or 3 Sunday study of afflictions and character forming, spiritual meat? Yeah. Amen. How about you, Keith? You ladies up here? If you don't raise your hand, I don't know what you think now. Because I'm not psychic, thank God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is going to take a little while. That's why I ask, you see, if you're willing to go into it for another Sunday, because we may get hung up right here. Beginning in chapter 4, verse 8 through 18, I want to read it very quickly, and you follow along. I'm reading in the New American Standard, and your version will agree with it. Paul said, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. And that's from Psalm 116, it's verse 10. I believe, therefore I spoke, as the Old Testament says, Paul is saying, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore we speak. Are you following this? Isn't this nice? He's quoting the Old Testament. He didn't have anything else, didn't know he was writing the New Testament, as the Bible says he could have said. I believe, so therefore I spoke. knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake. Now here we go. All things are for your sake, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary, now listen to what all he said. He'd been beaten, persecuted, and all these things over here, perplexed and crushed. But notice how he refers to it. This momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparisons. While we look at the things that are seen, we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Now, we have a tendency, you see, in our comfort, and oh, we're such a comfortable nation. I never leave it without thinking how comfortable we are. In our comfort, we have a tendency to look at what we see and complain about it. You know, Brother Kenneth Hagin said, don't shout me down now because I'm preaching good. I said, we have a tendency to look at things, our income tax return, the traffic, the train that makes us late, the price of groceries, the fact that bacon went up from 98 cents a pound to $3 a pound in 6 months. We tend to look at all of those things and act like that's the end of everything. It's just the opposite here. No matter being beaten, stoned, left for dead, crushed, perplexed, persecuted, trodden down, spit on, everything that happened, Paul said, we don't even look at it. Through these things, and I could give you a testimony that I know it's true, but through these things, you see, though our outer man is decaying, getting fatter and flabbier and weaker and uglier and older every day. Well, that's inevitable. What'd he say? What did he say? But everything we are on the outside deteriorates. But through this kind of Christianity, our inner man is being renewed.
Amen.
I'll tell you someday, the voice of experience. We don't look at these momentary light afflictions. You see, my heartaches are tremendous. But I look at Paul's and I think, well, he had it worse than I do. Besides the grief for the churches and the backsliders and the heretics and everything that he put up with, he had all these physical problems. See, nobody's hit me for the gospel, you either. But these momentary light afflictions Paul talks about, can you imagine that? See, we remember that all of the great men and women of the Bible who carved out and produce this great faith for us, every one of them had afflictions, tribulation, and problems. Right? I guess Enoch had it pretty good. He didn't stay around long enough. I don't know, you know. World hadn't gotten as bad when Enoch was here.
He was the only one of his
generation. That's right. He was the only one of his generation. God took him home. He had a reason for it. But you just look at the others and how they suffered, what they gave up. And nowhere in the Bible is the church promised a bed of roses or a path of ease. It is not there. You see, that's why, though, a church that preaches nothing but bless me, bless me, bless me. You give 10 and God will give you 100. You give 100, God will give you 1,000. You give 1,000, God will give you 10,000. And all of that kind of thing, why that attracts a multitude of people. because the flesh wants to hear that everything is all right, and everything's going to be good, and you're not going to ever suffer, and you may never. But the Bible doesn't say that you may never. How many of you have already suffered anguish of hell and death over your kids?
Amen.
If you've got them, you have. Nine people out of ten who have families go through a great time of grief and anguish in one way or another, or illness, or unexpected death. Whatever. There's always something to keep our nose to the spiritual prayer wheel grindstone. Always something, and that makes us grow. Babies need milk. If they don't have milk, they won't grow. When people are growing, they need meat. And if they don't get meat, they don't grow. I believe I can say that's true. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you don't find it before I get through reading it, well, never mind. You know it's there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2-3. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Oh, they had problems. I tell you, they had problems. He said, "And brethren, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, but you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able." I bet he was aggravated, don't you? "For you're still fleshly, for since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men?" You know, the Bible talks about jealousy, strife, avarice, division, bitterness. Amen. In the same verses that it talks about adultery and fornication and drunkenness and homosexuality, and it doesn't classify them. Them fighting words. Don't tell me my gossiping is just as bad as him committing adultery. In the Bible it is. I don't see any classification for it, do you? And I tell you, the strife that is in Christianity and division is serious. I've got another good revelation. You want this one too? I was writing some letters while I was at the airport, and even in flight I was writing some letters. Ned threatened me if I didn't have some email ready to send to Siberia, so I had to get it done. But I was telling Nanette Fontenot in a letter, and she knows Ollie, they've been down there, and I was picturing a day that Ollie has, and you would not believe it. Some of you have been down there. You see how it is. But at the seminar time, it's worse because there are about 30 pastors there, and they've all got something they've got to talk about. And it's late at night and early in the morning. So I was telling Nanette that she is busy all the time with questions, problems, changes, and challenges. And then it came to me. These are signs of progress. For if nothing is happening, nothing is happening. Everybody get that? And they can usually get them worked out. And because they're pretty cooperative to, you know, to take suggestions. But that's everywhere. You see where they're people. Turn over to Hebrews 5. Y'all sure you want to do this? Well, it's beneficial. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. We read there. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone again to teach you the elementary principles of the Word of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Now these guys, these Hebrews, this group was named that because they had crossed over. That's what the word Hebrew means. These people to whom this letter is written had crossed over from Judaism to Christianity. And you would think just knowing enough about Judaism to get out of it and to embrace the promise that all Judaism pointed to, that would be spiritual meat enough to keep on. But that isn't the way the writer is addressing them. He said, "Why, you ought to be teaching other people, but you're still on milk." Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. And this really should come later, but I'll read it now, since we're in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning in verse 4, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those," now here's the line, "whom the Lord loves, he disciplines." King James says chastens, and that sounds a little worse. "And he scourges every son whom he receives." And the only way God can do that is to put something in your life. He's not going to come down here and whip you with a literal whip. It just doesn't work that way. But he is going to show you that your only victory is in knowing who he is and what he is going to do in order to keep your attention, to keep you in line. And you know, we're so stupid as a nation, you know, the further we get away, the longer the whip he has. You understand? The more we need it, the more we get it. And the more we disobey, the more we are asking for it. That's saying, you old people, see, that's the way you raise your kids. Right? That's why they never did stand up and sass you. That's why they never did tell you what they were going to do. I would still be spitting up teeth if I ever told my mother, I'm not going to do it. Why, that was just like being in a den with a wild lion. Because I knew the discipline. And the more I got out of line, the harder the discipline. So what this is the way. But he says, he goes on here to say, it is for discipline that you endure. That's the only way you're going to make it. You'll backslide, take everything for easy, and decide whether the world was better anyway if you're not able to endure the chastening and the disciplining of the Lord and his corrective rod. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Well, see, this is biblical standard. There are plenty of them, God, that fathers don't discipline. I guess they think they can't. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. All I know is what I went through. And I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. She should have done more, I guess. But if you're without discipline, of which you've become partakers, then you're illegitimate. King James says bastards. How plain can you get? You don't have any father if you're not being disciplined. In other words, if the rod of affliction and the chastening discipline of the Lord is not in your life, you do not belong to him. Is that a clear deduction? As Archie Bunker says, is that... what does it say? I'll think about it in a minute. He had a name for that. I'll think about it in a minute. But is that not a clear revelation? He says convulsion. It's not good convulsion? Is that not good conversion, revelation, knowledge? It is. Regardless whether we like it or not. You know one good thing about this God and this Bible? He didn't parade himself in any manner to ever be pleasing to men. And he did not author a book with it in mind that it was going to please anybody. Somebody, they used to say, you know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's silly. God said it, that settles it. And I believe it. He's just a God other. I read this in a new magazine, Tickle Me Good. If we could think clearly and correctly of the character of God, it would erase practically all evil. Isn't that powerful? If we could think accurately about the character of God, it would erase practically all evil. So the milk is the promised blessing. The meat is the obedience and the commitment to stay with it to receive his best. You see, the milk is the anticipation of eternity with the Lord, but the meat is containing the faith and discipline to get there. That all right? Romans 5, please, Romans chapter 5, 9. I don't see how this man has the audacity to say some of the things he says. I don't agree with him, but I believe it. I don't like it, but I believe it. You may as well be honest. You don't like it either. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's milk. Through whom also we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. That's milk. And not only this, but we exult in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings patience and perseverance. That's meat. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And that's meat. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. You see, that's milk. We accept some of these things with gusto, and some of them we kind of repulse at. Persecution, tribulation, works patience. Well, you think back over your life. That's true, isn't it? And patience develops proven character. They call it in some places the potter's wheel. They call it in other places in the Bible the refiner's fire. Y'all know it's there, don't you? Well, see, it's good for us to look at it and be very, very realistic about it. All the Bible says about persecution, and with that, just saying that much, I can hand this to you and ask you to keep it, and for the next Sunday or two, I'd like to explore it with you and just go through it. Randy, we appreciate that handout you gave us, and I think you were in here when we commented on it. I'm sure there are enough, but if they're not, now start back at the back, Lewis, please. If they're not, we have plenty more, and Linda can always get us some more. And I want you to know I pay the church for the paper, so don't ever think I'm deadbeating that or anybody else. Everything costs. Don't throw it away. If you don't want to keep it, give it back to me, and I'll take it to one of the prison classes or somewhere, because there are people who really are anxious to know about how Christian character is developed. Psalm 119, we got about 3 minutes. Psalm 119 has four references to affliction. We go there and then we'll come back to Psalm 30. Thank you, brothers. Verse 67, and here's the best one of all. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now you think about that. Before I was afflicted, and he could have said, before you got my attention, I went astray. When you failed to afflict me, I did my own thing. When I acted according to the lusts of the flesh, I had a good time. Don't tell sinners they aren't having a good time. I've been there and done that. Didn't have any t-shirts, but you know what I'm talking about. You remember when you had a good time? Sure, thank you. The rest of you are so sanctified. Well, we did. Couldn't wait to do it again. But before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, the bottom line of that is, but now I keep your word. You have convinced me that you mean business. And then the other one, verse 71, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Well, that is so powerful. The only way that we are going to ever really learn that God said it and meant it, did it, does it, and will continue to do it and did it and does it. The only way we're going to ever know is for Him to afflict us and allow us, make us say it was good. It was good. I wouldn't take anything, all the money in the world, for my mother's upbringing. How much more should we as Christians be thankful for what God has done in our lives? No matter how rough it seems, how horrible it seems, God is at work in the heart. I want to tell you this. If everything is so goody good good in your life, You better get saved. If everything is just working so well, better take a second look. Because, you know, this takes training, doesn't it? This takes discipline. And it was good for us that He has afflicted us and disciplined enough that we could learn His Word. You know, sometimes I've heard men in prison say this, they never gave a thought to God's Word until they landed in prison. And boy, does it ever get their attention once they know the Lord, that Word. They'll be some of the best audiences you've ever heard. They were hungry. People in Mexico were hungry. Give us the Word. And I don't speak enough Spanish to order a meal. I mean, I don't care even. Just, you know, just never did learn it. But those pastors, they know I know the meaning of the Spanish word for word. And they'll say, bueno, padre. Oh, good word, good word, good word. And they mean it. And they're making use. How rough it gets. See, you can't tell them about blessings because they don't have very many. You can't tell them they're going to have a better car or a bigger house. Don't have either one. Live in a hut. Ride a mule. Some of them got old beat-up trucks. Well, if we lived like that, we'd be complaining. We would be tearing our hair out. We'd be whooping out the card and charging stuff that we couldn't pay for if we lived old as Methuselah. See, it's a marketplace kind of thing. Well, in this verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. And there's one we didn't print on there. I don't know why, but we didn't. Verse 107 says, I am extremely afflicted. Now listen to this one. He says, revive me according to your word. I want to tell you, when you get down and out, have you ever been there?
Yes.
Have you ever felt like the world was against you? If you're a Christian, see, and you've been down and out, afflicted, depressed, saddened, disappointed, the only thing that's going to bring you any comfort is to find something where it's written. Find a place where it's written. You want to go through this next Sunday? You aren't going to stay away because it's rough now. If you're not here, we're going to talk about you. We're going to take a roll next Sunday. But it's really very beautiful to look at the blessings that come from this. If you need a handout, you didn't get one, or you need this handout that Randy gave 2 weeks ago today on the Word, they're here.